Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on the Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country and really in other parts of the world to come join us. Come and learn with us. There is so much information out there, and we really have to have some supernatural wisdom and discernment for such a time as this. And as always, we'd like to start this off in prayer, really asking God to order our steps, to give us the words to say that it may go well for us as a nation, that you will find out some truth that maybe you have not heard before. And I just love to turn it over to our historian, Mrs. Barbara Moore, because Ms. Barbara, as always, you know, you just remind us of really where this nation come from and that, you know, our rights do not come from man. It comes from God. And I'm always so grateful for that, Ms. Barbara.
Well, you know, that's absolutely true that our rights are God-given. The right to life, it's God who created life and gives life, and our right to liberty, to freedom, that's His desire for us. And we institute governments to protect those God-given rights. That's the purpose of government. We establish a government to protect our God-given rights. And one of our candidates, Rick Santorum, speaks about that very frequently and reminds us, takes us back to our foundation. And I like that very, very much. So let's go before the throne of grace and mercy together. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, O God, for this opportunity today with our voting in Alabama. Lord, we thank you for the gift that it is to be able to vote for the candidate of our choice. And I pray, Father, that your people will know, Lord, that they are accountable to you for the choice they make. You are Lord. And Father, we bow to your wisdom. We bow, Father, to your knowledge that you reveal to us in your word. And you tell us in your word that he who governs. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God, to have knowledge of you, O Lord, and to have knowledge of your truth as you've revealed in your word. I pray, Father, that all your people today in Alabama would remember that, and they would vote for the candidate, Father, who is just, the candidates who are just, and who will rule in the fear of God, in respect for God, in reverence for you, O Lord. We thank you, Father, for this time that we have on the radio. We thank you, Father, that you've been so kind to us over the years, over the many days and weeks and months and years. You've been kind. And, Father, you have provided so bountifully for us, Lord. You've provided guests, Lord, who need to be heard, to share truths that must be known, Lord. How good you are to us, O God. And we thank you for it. And we pray, Father, that it's made a difference for this hour, for this time, and that we have in some measure, Father, been your instruments, and we desire to do your will and your good pleasure this day and every day forward. We pray, Father, for wisdom for our leaders. We pray for protection, O God, for our people from terrorism protection, for Israel from terrorism protection, for our troops, Lord, and their families, Father. Bless them, we pray. And we continue to pray for that great revival among the troops and among our people, Father, in this land and throughout the world, and a great awakening. And we pray this in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you for that wonderful prayer to God, Ms. Barbara. And I just love it that, you know, we can go to him, that he says to come boldly to the throne of grace. And time again, Ms. Barbara, he has shown himself merciful and full of grace. And, you know, I just think to myself that he is looking to and fro to see men and women who will stand. And I think this time the church has a clear picture of who will stand. But it has really helped, Ms. Barbara, to get to hear the gifts that God has gifted us, because I probably would not be as convicted had I not heard, you know, so much great wisdom from these men of God. And I just think to myself that I have heard a lot of Christians that at this day throughout the country that are really confused about this election. But I think to myself, how could a God to really give us a contrast, that it really does stand out if you compare what's going on with the Word of God?
Well, absolutely. I do see that confusion. You can perceive it as, you know, we have candidates before us for president who are a clear contrast to the current president. And that's what it is going to take. But it's also going to take a person in love with God, who knows his word and calls us back to the foundation that we were established upon. And that's one of the things that I love so much about Rick Santorum, that he is calling us to look to our past so that we can build our future. You know, you cannot build a future without a foundation. Try to build a house without establishing that firm foundation. It can't be done. And, you know, so he calls us back to our foundation, our foundational principles, our founding fathers, and the truths that they brought to us. And of course, I love that. I love that. But, you know, but the founders themselves knew that that was the only foundation that a secure future could be built upon. And I was thinking, you know, John Adams is one of my favorite founding fathers, our second president and our very first vice president, the very first president of the Senate of the United States Congress. And I'm going to give you a quote from John Adams that really speaks to this. He said, "Statesmen may plan for liberty, but it is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand." And that's the truth. The founders knew it. They established the plan for government based upon those principles of freedom, the recognition of the sovereignty and authority of God over the heavens and the earth, the nature of man, both the sinful nature of man and then also the transformed man in Christ, who is able to accomplish great things. But, you know, so the nature of God and the nature of man, and they established this firm foundation built upon eternal truths, not the passing trend of the day or the passing fad of the day. They built upon eternal truths, which are everlasting. And so, you know, I see that there is one candidate that stands for that, and one alone, and that is Rick Santorum.
Wow. Ms. Barbara, tell me when I sound like I'm not very clear, okay? Because sometimes, you know, I kind of do not sound like it, and I don't know it. But regarding what you said, I also think, Ms. Barbara, how amazing is it that God would allow Alabama not just to be the center of focus for the nation today, but in the spiritual realm, I also see it as a center of focus, because there is, you know, one that made a stand, Judge Roy Moore, you know, back around 2003, 2004, with the incident about really the acknowledgement of God, you know. And here we go again. You know, God is allowing us to choose. And I'm praying, what an opportunity. And I see the, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, because he first loved us while we were yet sinners, you know, Christ died for us anyway. And I think what an awesome thing God is doing to hold up that mirror before us, Ms. Barbara, as we've always said, you know, it seems like God is holding up that mirror. But this year and at this point in time, that mirror is so clear, because there is a parallel going on in the spiritual and in the physical. And I think it is really contrasted with a candidate that we have, Rick Santorum, and what he really stands for, and also Judge Moore and what he really stands for. So it's like God is giving us two chances to make choices really that stands for his ways versus ours.
Yes. But he is giving us a second chance with Judge Moore. You know, he was wrongfully removed from his position by a panel, an unelected, unaccountable panel, chosen with political motivation, and he was unjustly removed from his office as chief justice. And this is our opportunity to return back. The people of Alabama can elect him back to that office, and justice will be served. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity, and I believe he is going to be returned and restored to his rightful position where the people of Alabama placed him. You know, the people of Alabama placed him as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, and we did not remove him. he was wrongfully and unjustly removed from that position, and now the people of Alabama can return and restore that which was stolen from him. And I love that opportunity that we've been given by the Lord, and I'm so grateful that Judge Moore is willing to serve there again. And this is a great day for the state of Alabama, I think, in that regard. And then, too, we've been given another chance. You know, our primary was moved forward, so we can really have a voice in the primary. And that is very, very exciting. You know, Diana, it was years ago, it was back in the 1980s, that there was a prayer meeting, and I had heard of it. I came to know the Lord personally in the early 80s and was blessed to be able to have that intimate relationship with him from that time on. But I was not at that prayer meeting, but it was legendary. And in that prayer meeting, it was spoken that Alabama would be a light to the nation and to the nations. And I thought about that often. I shared that with Judge Moore when he was running for Chief Justice in 2000 and was elected to that position, that I believe that he was being that light. And indeed he was and did and all of that. But I believe that Alabama makes a difference in this, and we're being given that opportunity once again by God, and I'm so grateful.
Oh, yes, Ms. Barbara, I am too, and I just ask God for a word. I love to ask God for a word, and, you know, for people that might think that's strange, you know, we say the Bible is, you know, the living Bible, and I was so amazed when I heard Ann Graham Lott, you know, saying the same thing, that she asked God for a word. I mean, well, she lets the Holy Spirit lead her. And I believe when God knows in your heart that you are truly seeking him, he will answer you. And I was asking God for a word for today. I started not to, because I had a good word last night about the Great Commission. I thought, well, you know, I know that's what we're all about. But also today is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2. And I love this, Ms. Barbara. This is where I at. It says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And I think that's where we're at, Ms. Barbara. There is a simplicity in believing in Christ, you know, putting our faith and trust in him. And I know that's something that Fox News, they have a hard time, people like that, you know, the mainstream media. You know, I hear all the intellectual talk, and they, you know, they really espouse that Santorum is not electable, because their mind cannot grasp the fact that, you know, God is over everything, and he is a part of the equation in this political realm. But I think this is talking to us that, you know, we too here are in the Bible Belt. You know, I thank God Sunday was just right before this election. And people have, again, in Alabama, you know, that is our way of life. Just about every road has a church, you know, which is so
that's
good.
Right.
And I know I've seen where they say, you know, it's hard to measure in the polls which way this electorate is going to go. And I think because there is something that they cannot count, and that is the Holy Spirit's leading. There are a lot of people in Alabama who gets down on their knees and they pray for mercy to an almighty God. And I'm just praying, Ms. Barbara, that God would have mercy. We don't deserve mercy, as we have said before, because we as a nation have really, you know, just like what happened with Judge Moore, the acknowledgement of God should never have been an issue. It's in the founding of this nation. You cannot wipe it off the annals of history. It's recorded in the Library of Congress. but yet that's what the mainstream media is trying to wipe off, the acknowledgement of God from this land. But he's Christ. I mean, there is, you know, how in the world they think they can stand against that power? Well, I guess it stems from really not knowing him, not having that relationship. But I just really love what God is saying. You know, I think he is teaching us something today, and he's reminding us. And I look at here, it says, you know, in all our teaching and preaching, content is far more important than the presentation. You know, we're hearing all sorts of good presentations from Romney. He's the only one that's going to beat Obama. We're hearing all sorts of good presentation from Newt Gingrich. Beautiful, beautiful speeches. He's going to lower the, you know, profit tax to 250. You know, things like that. But I think that's really, you know, what the Bible is saying. You know, if we would just simply put it, our mindset, with the mindset of Christ, have the mind of Christ, it will not be hard to know who to vote for.
Well, that's right, Diana. If we humble ourselves before God and seek his wisdom and his knowledge, it is not hard to know who to vote for. And, you know, we're being manipulated again by those in positions of power and being pushed one direction, and that's toward Mitt Romney. Well, you know, not only is there not much contrast between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, not only that, with the Romney Care and the Obamacare and Romney Care in Massachusetts, but also that Romney supported the Obamacare, the individual mandate, and so forth, and was supportive of that. But not only all of that, but, you know, the money that has been poured into his campaign and has been spent, it was like in the last state it was Santorum was outspent 12-1. In Ohio, I think Romney spent something like $12 million. So there's tremendous amounts of money that's being used to push us in that direction. And, you know, there are those who don't like to be pushed. We experienced this before, didn't we, with Obamacare, that it was pushed at us and shoved down our throats. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter that the American people were not supportive of Obamacare, that the American people absolutely refused it and rejected it. And yet, that bombardment kept at us. And, you know, I hear Rick Santorum saying, you know, I believe in the American people. Believe in the American people. He believes in the foundation of this great nation, but that we the people are sovereign, and we are kings here. As Alexander Hamilton once said some years ago, "Here, sir, the people rule." And, you know, I hear that, you know, I believe, Diana, that the American people are going to push back against that push and really, really vote rightly. I believe that. And I believe it's going to make a difference. Now, I don't know what kind of shenanigans might go on that alter that or, you know, have anything to do with that. I don't know. But I do believe in the American people. I believe in God's people.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I think I've learned something from the Alabama election that I have not seen really so blatantly before, which, you know, I've always heard it too, but you could really see in your local news, when you start looking through the local news, and right at the onset when all eyes started to turn to Alabama, you know, they start putting out polls out there using really an Alabama Education Association-backed poll, you know, and which to me was a shock at who was ahead right at the get-go. And then also you hear that, that we were talking about, that bandwagon mentality, get on the winning bandwagon mentality that was being promoted by the mainstream media. And so, and then that's one thing, the handling of the media is very, very, really troubling. But the other thing, too, of course, is the establishment. You know, there's that fear that's being put through the Republican Party, that word electability, you know, it ties in with Mitt Romney. And so they welcome in Newt Gingrich at the same time because, in a way, they know that that will help Romney, anything that can dilute Alabama's conservative vote. So they open their doors and welcome Newt. And I guess they think that most Alabamians are stupid and don't see through that. But also, so there's that spirit of fear that's being used. And I think that's another thing, too, is I think, you know, I can understand the elderly people being afraid because all they get are the sound bites from these advertising, and the advertising dollar that's being used here is tremendous. You know, you get, what, somebody said 16 robocalls, you know, from the Romney, and no telling how many, you know, you combine the Romney and the Gingrich ad together that really goes against the Santorum vote because Santorum, you know, you would think that Alabama would be really easily win over by Santorum. He is very conservative. But then they come in here and pollute the thinking of the people and really the elderly. And that to me is inexcusable because I can understand, you know, I can understand the elderly having a problem with it, you know, at their late stage, you know, they're very anxious because they don't have any money. They don't have any leeway with their money. And all that's being put out there is really that, you know, Santorum is going to stop Social Security. He's going to end it. You know, and I can understand that. But I think it's unforgivable, the people that would use that, you know, the mind of our elderly citizens and manipulate it in such a way. Well, it's between them and God. But, you know, it just shows you to what depth the enemy will go down. But another thing that I think also is the cover-up on the homosexual-leaning, really, leadership of Romney. It's funny because the more people know, Ms. Barbara, everyone that has found out that Romney led Massachusetts into same-sex marriage through his unconstitutional directive for his Department of Health to issue same-sex marriage licenses. It wasn't required by the Supreme Court. They were saying that they want to suggest to the legislature to enact laws, you know, for allowing same-sex marriage, but the legislature did not act, and so he took it upon himself and started moving things. And it was so strange when I first started looking up, who did I find that information from? It was a gay website thanking Romney for his part. They understood that it was through him that it got a hold of Massachusetts. And so to me, that right there, you know, the media, in so many ways, covering up the truth, the establishment working with the media, they have tried to put this spirit of fear throughout Alabama. And that's what that 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is talking about. It says in 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." You know, I'm hearing Romney and the word conservative being used, Ms. Barbara.
Well, You know, I think this idea of electability is such a farce, because and I think that the Republican establishment are being used. They are the people who are pushing Romney are being used by the Democrats and others with this electability issue. You know, so far in the campaign, even though there's been some nastiness, they haven't even begun to parade out what they're going to in the general election if Romney is the candidate. Then Mormonism will be exposed before the American people. And I believe that what you'll see if Romney is the candidate, I believe you'll see Mormonism on parade. I believe you'll see the people of Texas, the Mormons of Texas, their children were taken away from them. And the ladies in the long dresses and long sleeves and high necks and bouffant hairdos I think that you'll see that on parade. I think you'll see the perverted old man who arranged the marriages with the young girls, and he's now in prison. I think you'll see that. I think you'll see the ideas of Joseph Smith outlined. I think you'll see the polygamy within, and you know the extra, the additional, if you will, I don't even remember what it's called, but it's another testament of the Mormons and the hierarchy of Mormonism. I think that you'll see all this if Romney is a candidate. And by the time they get finished with that and showing that there's not, you know, probably the homosexual not promotion, but support that he gave homosexual marriage in Massachusetts and keeping the leaders that were responsible for Fistgate, the corrupt meeting with high school students to show them techniques to use, homosexual techniques to use in their recreational sex time. He retained those people in Massachusetts. I think all of this will come out, and you know, he will not be electable. He will not be electable. The reason they're saying he's electable at this point, nothing like that has come out, really.
I think you're right, Ms. Barber. The Republican establishment doesn't seem to be able to see that they too are pawns, because when, you know, like the polling from the AEA, you know, it was not the AEA, but it was an AEA ties polling that first came out, and even Fox News mentioned it. Yeah, that is Democrats. Now, why would the Democrats want to put that out? If nobody else can see that by now, it is an obvious promotion by the Democrats, and there's only one reason they would promote Romney, as you said, because they know that he is the one that's going to allow them to win, should he be the nominee. And they were saying also, you could just look at the people that are voting. The anti-Romney vote is really huge, really huge. And, you know, there's many of us that will hold our noses. Some people have said they're going to hold their noses. They're going to vote for Romney. But what the Democrats are counting on is that there are going to be those that will not. And that's the danger, I think, with putting someone, you know, that has that backlash against him because of all these things, like you said, are going to come out. And when you look at Rick Santorum, it's like, you know, I've always heard, if you want to study fakes, you need to study the original. I remember that. And when you study the original, God's word, and you compare it with Gingrich, with Romney, with Santorum. Santorum, in spite of everything they say, you know, that people have a problem with his economy. You know, there's the news that he's going to take away my Social Security. There's the news that he voted, you know, five times to, I think, raise the debt limit or something like that. But yet, you know, when you really study the man, you know, you can't just, I mean, people just make statements like that so that they can hopefully get a percentage of people believing that. But when you really study, you really, you know, you think, well, I guess there was something to that after all that made sense, you know, as to why he acted that way. And it's really wonderful when you start comparing the Word of God against all three candidates. You know, it's really not hard, but that is the problem, I think, too, is, you know, as a nation, so many have gotten to not comparing God's word with anything that they do, anything that they stand for.
Well, if that's not our standard, and if that's not our measuring stick, what is? What is? What one man says and another, you know, it's either going to be God's standard or man's standard. So which is the only one, the only standard that's going to be right? It's God's standard. I mean, and we have to evaluate everything by that standard if we want it to be right.
Oh, go ahead, Ms. Paul.
No, that's okay.
Well, I was just going to, you know, looking at this, because 2 Corinthians chapter 11 to go, this other page is into 2 Corinthians and in chapter 11, verse 32. But it talks about that Paul was angry that the false teachers had impressed and deceived the Corinthians. Therefore, he had to reestablish his credibility and authority by listing the trials he had endured in his service for Christ. And, you know, this is really what's so wonderful, Ms. Barbara, with listening to you and Mr. Wayne, is because you share with the listeners the trials that really, you know, what at the inception of this nation that men had undergone. And if it were not for the acts of God, the hand of God, you know, there would not be a United States of America. And so, to me, when mainstream media leaves God out of the equation, I hate to say it, but they're ignoring history, and it's very, very, it's a very dangerous thing to do.
Well, it is. It's very dangerous, but you have to remember that they don't know history. They truly don't. All they know is what they've been taught, and what they've been taught in the liberal public schools and colleges and universities is rewritten history. It's revisionist history that they've been taught. They don't know any better, and they're not. They haven't had the blinders removed from their eyes, the veil lifted, and so they're promoting what they know, what they've been taught. And so many years ago, we as Christians left the field of battle and left it to the liberals. And so, you know, these ideas that they have, these liberal ideas, these radical socialist ungodly ideas that they have been taught, and they've been taught well. And they've been taught so well that they trust in it, and they think that all other ideas, they hold all other ideas in contempt, really in contempt and disdain. And they look down their noses at the truth when it's put to them. To them, it's old-fashioned, quaint, fairy tales, you know. This is truly what they've been taught. And so, you know, if God gives us another chance, if he does, if he has mercy on us with this election, and we're able to get a godly man who will rule in the fear of God and be just, and we have another opportunity, what we've got to do is to bring truth, God's truth, into every arena that has influence over people, particularly young people. And they've got to be taught truth, not garbage, not this trash, this revisionist history that puts down the founding fathers and their characters and their good character and their ideas and their ideals and their sacrifices and their heroics. And the American people have got to, we've got to go back to square one, I think, Diana. I think we've got to go back and lay that foundation again, or remind and teach about that foundation and build from the ground up again, because this house that's been built with liberalism cannot stand. Excuse me.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I just think I like that what you're saying, square one. Let's get back. And I love the Bible. It is just a lamp unto our feet. And I know it's hard for people to maybe follow what we're saying, because as I've heard before, it really depends on a relationship. If you do not have that relationship in Christ, then, you know, what we're saying is not something that will become easy to you to understand. But if you are a very intellectual person and you can read, I would suggest reading the history. Go to the Library of Congress. Find out indeed about the history of this nation, where God was upheld in the eyes of men. They sought wisdom from God. And what a blessing it has been. And I love God's word. It says on Matthew, and I think back to the starting point, Matthew 6, it says right here on 31, chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 31, it says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? It says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I just love that, Ms. Barbara, because when Christians, you know, sometimes look at this passage, they don't go a little bit above. They go right here at the popular one, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But when you look back to 31, God is pointing out in his word, he knows that you are concerned about the provision. You know, the economy, in other words, how are you going to eat? How are you going to drink? How are you going to be, able to provide? How are you going to get clothes? Those are, you know, matters that really, if you don't have a job, yeah, how am I going to do it? But isn't it beautiful, Ms. Barbara, that he said that, yes, just follow me, seek my kingdom, and I'm going to take care of all that for you. So, you know, we are all called by his name. Right there, God is reminding us, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about the rest of it. And it's just, Solomon is a prime example of that, right, Ms. Barbara? King Solomon and then George Washington with his country.
Well, yes, indeed. And, you know, he not only takes care of us and will take care of us, but he'll give us enough to share with others. He provides seed for the sower. He provides enough that we, as we give, then he continues to give and lets us be a vessel that he can use and give through. Diana, you know, I know that every person who knows the Lord personally can relate so many stories about his faithfulness in providing the in the physical realm. You know, I personally have many, many stories about God's provision. We've gone through some really difficult times, and God has always been faithful to provide whatever we needed. I'm talking very, very needy times, and I can remember where there would be times we have four children and went through some times having lost a business, and there would be groceries on the doorstep. Groceries on the doorstep. You know, just miracle after miracle. I'll share this one story, and I probably shared it with you. I don't remember. There have been so many times that God himself has intervened to provide physically in our need. But I had a friend who sewed beautifully, and she called me one day. She sewed for her children, her girls, and she did that fancy the fancy sewing and all that. She sewed all her own wardrobe and her children, her girls. She had three girls, and she called me one day and said, "Barbara, the Lord has put it on my heart to sew you a wardrobe." And I laughed, and I said, "But I don't need a wardrobe. You know, I don't have need of that. What am I going to do with that? Where am I going to go with that? I don't need that." And so we talked a bit, and a few days later, she called me back, and she said, "The Lord is insisting that I sew you a wardrobe." And again, you know,
Ow.
I refused, and I objected, and gave the reasons why. And a week later, she called back again. She said, "You can even have the fabric that I purchased in Birmingham for our wardrobes. You know, you can even have that, or we can go to Hancock's and you can pick out your patterns and your fabrics. But I've got to sew this because, you know, God is not letting me off of this. This has to be." So finally, just in faith that she was hearing correctly from the Lord, I agreed. I said, "Okay, and we'll go." And so we did. And we selected the fabric, and it was really interesting, Diana, because she sewed not only skirts and just the entire ensemble, including belts and jackets and so forth.
Wow.
And the very after it was finished, I found out that I had need of applying for a job. And what do you think I wore to the job interview? And what do you think I wore to the job that I acquired that over that next year was that wardrobe that God had laid upon her heart long before I knew I had need of it? He had already laid it aside, provided for me.
Oh.
And just so graciously, so graciously. And,
wow.
You know, over and over and over again, I saw his miracle, his wonder-working power in my need. So if there's anyone listening who has need, who is out of a job, who is, you know, the Bible says your gift will make room for you. If you're out of a job, your gift that God has placed within you will make room for you. You know, and God can be depended upon. He is faithful. He's faithful in the little things. He's faithful in the big things. And we can place our trust in him, and he is faithful to be our provider in all things, whether it's clothing, whether it's food, whether it's shelter. Let me share this while I'm sharing. We had a leaky roof. A leaky roof, Diana. We could not afford to put a roof on our house. And this, you know, we were concerned about it, made it a matter of prayer. Not long after that, you're not going to believe this, a little tornado came down and kind of took our roof. And
Oh, wow.
So we got a new roof, you know.
Wow, Miss Barbara. Well, you are, you know, isn't that perfect? We were talking about that scripture, you know, and here God shows practically what he has done for one and what he'll do for you, he will also do for another. You know, so those that are listening thinking, well, oh, this is just, this is just a fluke. No, it is not, because I can share the same story about a roof, Miss Barbara. but God so loved us, and he didn't just love me, and he didn't just love Miss Barbara. And I know that's part of what's going on in this election, is there's that spirit of fear, because, Lord, how am I going to make it? I need a job. Lord, I can't feed my children. Lord, they're sick. But time and time again, as Ms. Barbara will tell you, and I agree with her, if it were not for God, we would be lost. And Ms. Barbara, that really parallels what God has done, not just in our life individually, but really so beautifully in the life of this nation. And that's why, to whom much he's given, much is expected. And I do believe that it is our job as citizens of this great nation. It should be something that we want to do, is seek the past, seek out the history. Why is God in our history? You know, why are people trying to take God out? How did he get there in the first place? And then they will see the magnificent hand of a loving God that really set a place where all mankind, Miss Barbara, we are talking about all the races of this planet, is really represented in this United States of America. And it's like, you know, the only way peace is really going to come is if we're united under Christ. You know, it's not perfect peace that we're in, because there's never going to be that perfect peace until Christ comes. But this is as close as we're going to get. And I think it is time, if you are a parent, grandparent that's concerned about your children, we ask you to please study your history and then take time to get to know the God that is written in your history books and the annals of the history of this nation, because he is a gracious, he is a loving God, and he loves you also. And he will also come through for you, as he has come through for Ms. Barbara and me. Right, Ms. Barbara?
Absolutely. God is no respecter of persons, the Bible says. And what he has done for one, he will do for others. And we're to seek him and his righteousness. Sometimes, Diana, I think we forget about the righteousness part, that we're to seek his righteousness. And he will be faithful to all who come to him.
Oh, yes. And Ms. Barbara, we're coming to the end of the show, and time has flew. And I agree with you wholehearted, Ms. Barbara. We have got to just go to the basic, square one, which is to remember our history, that just as in the past, I mean, really, the battle with Great Britain is really no less of a big deal as what we're facing today. I just really think when you hear what they were facing, what an incredible experience it had to be to live at that time, Ms. Barbara, and to see time and time again, if it were not but for the hand of God. And that is something
That's right. You remind me.
And so, you know, I invite you listeners to join us, because Ms. Barbara and Mr. Wayne, tomorrow's History Day, I'm hoping for them. But they will remind you, and the more you know about your history, the more you are going to be so grateful for the God of the universe to have taken the time out to become a man, served as an example for us, to die on the cross. That's how he loved you, that he gave his son for you. And then in this United States of America, Miss Barbara, to have left such a legacy of what happens when a nation follows God. So let's not take him out of the equation in this election. Let us, as his word says, seek first the kingdom of God. And I think it's very clear. You look at the life of the little David, and I think of Sandorm as that, a man who loves the Lord, a man whose family loves the Lord, a man who God has gifted with a special child named Bella to hold up that issue that is really at the center of everything. If it were not for life, where would you be? Why would you want to withhold the dignity of that life from anybody else? You would that it was never withheld from you or your children. Why would you want that allowed to anybody else? So I think it's time to remove the blinders, right, Ms. Barbara? And let's look at things basic. And I pray you'll come to know him as Lord and Savior if you do not know Christ. It is a beautiful thing to walk with Christ. To be without Christ is, I can't even imagine, Ms. Barbara, what my life would be like. And I think that's what I'm seeing. A lot of people that are walking out there are very angry, very hurt, because they don't have that person that we can give it to, Ms. Barbara.
Where there is hope in Christ, he is the God of all encouragement, and blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. Will you close us in prayer?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. What a privilege it is. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your magnificence, Lord. We thank you for your amazing love. We thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing history, Lord, that you have given us who live in this place, the United States of America. And, Lord, we thank you for the love, Lord, that is in the hearts of many, Lord, a love for their children. We thank you for the way of life, Lord, that we can, Lord, love our families, that we can seek the truth. And Heavenly Father, that we thank you for the sacrifices of many, our soldiers right now, Lord, they're serving. And, Lord, they are being torn apart. Lord, we can't even imagine, Lord, how they are living in those places, in those dark places, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would loose, Lord, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, Lord, that all those, Lord, Heavenly Father, across this land that are seeking the truth will find it, Lord. You said that your people perish for lack of knowledge. And Lord, it is right there in your word. We're complete. Lord, I just thank you for that word that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But before that, Lord, you know that we are physical creatures, that we are worried about what our families are going to eat. What are we going to drink? How are we going to be clothed, Lord? You knew that. And right away, you answered, Lord, for us to seek you first, Lord, and you will be good enough to take care of the rest. Lord, I know it's simple. The answer is really trusting in you, that you will be our provider. You have been throughout the annals of history of this nation. You have been the refuge. You have been the strength. You have been our protector. And Lord, there's nothing hard for you. And right now, Lord, I ask that you will just speak in the hearts and minds, Lord, of those who are called by your name in Alabama, in Mississippi, Lord, that they would remember you, they would remember your ways. And as they vote today, Lord, that you would speak to them, that you would
Lord, show them the lies of the enemy, or the tools of the enemy have not changed as it was in the Garden of Eden. But we thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Help us to have the strength and the faith, Lord. Increase our faith throughout this land, and may we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We ask these things, Lord, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, I'll let you close this.
Okay. Well, listeners, we're grateful you joined us today. And please check out all the podcasts on our website, cityonahill.tv. Share them with your family and friends wherever they live so that they can become informed, inspired, and involved. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and may God bless America. Thank you. Bye-bye.